Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square.
Hello, everyone. God bless you. This is Susan Puzio of the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And today we are going to have a special guest, Bud Press from the Christian Research Service. We will be talking about Benny Hinn. Is Benny Hinn really a patron of the arts? And did Benny Hinn go to Rome to do work for the Vatican? What is the true story about that? We'll be talking about that. We'll also be talking about the New Age in the church and the false doctrine of can men be like God or little gods. So we'll be bringing on our guest in a few moments. I just want to mention to you that we do have a website. It's propheticnews.com, and you can avail yourself to many wonderful articles. I want to also mention the vaccines. I want to get that word out there every week. The vaccines that are being made from aborted babies, you need to know about that. You need to be aware of what's being injected into your body and into your child's body. So we do have those links up on our website. You can also do an internet search of vaccines from abortion, and you can see which vaccines are actually made that way. So that's some great information for you. Also, we have a YouTube channel, and that channel is Jonah T for Tom 48. You can view our YouTube videos. We've had over 5,000 views of our videos just in the past 6 weeks, so we're very happy that we're able to minister to so many people via YouTube. Also, we are doing a program on the Prophecy Zone Network, and that will be Monday night at 11 p.m. on the Prophecy Zone channel on Blog Talk Radio. So you might like to tune in to that also. We'll be adjusting the times for that. So I just want to also mention a few things that were in the news this week that I found interesting. One of the stories was that the government has a new right to track your every move with GPS. They're saying that if your car is out in the driveway, you don't have any privacy issues. So they can come to your house and put a GPS tracking device on your car and follow your every move. So we see already that we see so many of our rights being taken away from us. Also, there was a story about the new pat-downs at the airport where they won't be using the back of their hand anymore. They'll be using the front of their hand. So it's like, who wants to go on an airplane? It's ridiculous. But these are some of the things that we're being subject to. Also, the salmonella scare with the over 500 million eggs that were recalled. And I mentioned it a couple weeks ago that I thought it had something to do with the feed. Well, they found out that, yes, they found the evidence of salmonella in the chicken feed. Well, if you feed chickens genetically engineered food, no wonder they're getting sick. It only makes sense. I don't think they figured out that one yet. But most of the soy and the corn that they feed the animals is made from genetically engineered plants. So no wonder the chickens can't stand it. So that's why it pays to buy organic. Anyway, also outsourced call centers will be returning to U.S. homes. Well, hallelujah for that. How many of us have been so frustrated when we call a company for customer service and we're talking to somebody in India or the Philippines or who knows what, you know, and they're reading from a script. They can only help you as much as they know to read from the script. So customer service has been so frustrating for many of us. And these companies are finding out that it was actually hurting their business. And so they're going to start bringing customer service back to this country. Praise the Lord. Another story that I thought was a terrible story was there were 75 people that were found in dead in a home in Mexico, not too far from the border. There seems to be a human smuggling ring, and these people are paying up to $5,000 or more to be brought into this country. And instead of these people bringing them here, they're taking their money and they're murdering them. It's just awful. We just see that the Bible says that in the end times we were going to see lawlessness, and we're seeing it so much every day. There are so many stories in the news that most of us thought we'd never see these days. We see so much heresy and apostasy in the church. And that's why we have people like Bud Press, thank God for his ministry, Christian Research Service. I'm going to bring Bud on now and see what he has to say. Hi, Bud.
Hi, Susan. How you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
Oh, pretty good, pretty good. Thank you for having me on today.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. I hope we can have you many more times because you're an investigator. I like that. A Christian Research Service. Amen. So, yes, it's a service. Tell the listeners a little bit about your background and how did you come into this ministry of being an investigator and researcher?
Well, Susan, in the early 1980s, my mother gave me a book on cults. And quite frankly, I couldn't put it down. I read it from cover to cover and discovered that, the book brought back some memories of my parents witnessing to Jehovah's Witnesses. And my mom and dad actually led a family of Jehovah's Witnesses to the Lord many, many years ago.
Wow.
When I was in my younger days. My mother and dad were Christian. I guess you could say a Bible scholar. She was very knowledgeable about Scripture. My dad sang in church, things like that. And mother taught me a lot about who Jesus is, about the essentials of the Christian faith and things like that. Well, after I read that book, I started to realize that there were a lot of cults in the area that we were living in Florida.
Uh-huh.
Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, New Agers, Christian Science. And so after reading the book, that led into doing more research, and eventually it developed into a street ministry. I would go door to door. I would follow Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons around in neighborhoods
Wow.
Try to get to people before they did, and sometimes we would all meet right in the middle of the neighborhood and have a witnessing session. And Christian Research Service was established in the late 1980s for a short time, and I went on with another ministry for a while until we moved to North Carolina and that. Christian Research Service is a discernment apologetics ministry.
Yeah.
And we went online in 2004. We offer a free service to the body of Christ. We provide information and documentation on a wide variety of issues to the body of Christ and the Christian news media worldwide. The term Christian investigative researcher can be somewhat intimidating, but we certainly don't mean it that way. What we mean by that is we do a lot of digging that the average Christian or the average researcher doesn't do. We make phone calls. We write letters. Actually make on-site appearances and things like that. I guess just like an investigative journalist would do.
Yes.
You know, so, but other than that.
That's wonderful. I mean, that's wonderful because, like you said, some people, they never really take the time to research different teachers, teachings, and they just accept whatever they hear on TV or whatever they hear on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's so necessary, especially in the times we're living in, when we never thought we were going to see the day when we would see so much error.
Mm-hmm.
In the church. And especially with Benny Hinn. Now, you did some investigating and researching about this article that was in the National Enquirer,
mm-hmm.
I guess it was over a month ago, where Benny Hinn was photographed with Paula White. They were holding hands, walking down the street in Rome, and Benny is not yet divorced. But he put up a letter, I guess, on his website saying that he was there on Vatican business as a patron of the arts. So what did you find out about that?
Well, the National Enquirer article, Susan, came out on July 23rd.
Okay.
On July 24th, Benny issued a written statement on his website where he did mention that he, the invitation to the Vatican and things like that. The statement on his website disappeared one day later. Later on, he addressed his partners at Crusade in Oakland, California, and he explained to them that he had been made a patron of the arts at the Vatican. And what that is anybody can be a patron of the arts. You can contribute, an amount of money, anywhere from $200, $500 to $1,000 per year. And you can that money goes into the restoration work of the statues and the paintings and things like that that are contained in the Vatican Museum.
Yeah.
And so it's not something that the Pope is going to call you and ask you to do. I mean, anybody can do it, what I did, I got real curious, and I wrote the International Director for the Patron of the Arts to the Vatican in Rome, Italy. His name is Mark Haydu, Haydu.
Yeah.
And I asked him some very simple questions. He wrote back the next day, and he said there is no record of Benny Hinn and Paula White being invited to the Vatican. And he said their names do not appear on the database of the Patron of the Arts membership. Now, later on, a Federico Lombardi, who is the official spokesman for the Vatican, denied that Hinn had any official appointments in the Vatican during that time that Benny Hinn claimed.
Yeah.
So
why do you think that he made up that story?
Me personally, I have no idea. But one thing we do know is that, like you said, the National Enquirer article included two photographs of what appear to be Benny Hinn and Paula White walking down the street holding hands.
Yeah.
In their statements, now Paula White also issued a statement on her website, a written statement.
Yeah.
It remained there for a few days, and she took hers down. Now, while they denied any immorality, any wrongdoing in that aspect, Neither one of them, as of yet, have denied the photographs.
Right.
See? And there is other information available on Benny Hinn's website. He talks about his trip to Rome, and he talks about him being invited to the Vatican. But he doesn't mention anything about the patron of the arts or anything like that. So we're left to with a decision in this situation with a National Enquirer article. We either believe what Benny Hinn and Paula White say, or we believe what the representatives of the Vatican say. Now, as for me right now, I'm going to believe what the Vatican says.
Yeah.
You know, the representatives there.
Yeah, but I think what you said in the first place is that anybody can be a patron of the arts.
Yes.
So if he just wanted to go there and make a contribution, but he actually was not invited, because he said that he was invited by the Vatican for ministry. That's what I think was the first thing he said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they had some ministry opportunities. And then he came out with the story after about this patron of the arts things, and that he invited Paula to come so that she could become a patron also.
Yeah, and in their statements, in both statements, they stated that they traveled independently to Rome for business in that area. In Benny Hinn's public statement to the Oakland in Oakland, California, to his crusade partners, he opened up and said that he and Paula came along with him.
Oh.
So, yeah.
So, and they caught them in line number one, because they actually did go together.
It appears to be, yes. Appears to be.
Yeah.
In a follow-up article that I put on my website just within the last day or so, I asked the question, what about the photos?
Yeah.
And we do these things. We write articles. You have this program because for the truth. And Benny Hinn and Paula White, their followers, their supporters, their financial supporters, they deserve to know what the truth is.
That's right.
See?
That's right. So, basically, you know, this whole thing with Benny Hinn, and I believe that God allowed it to happen, because we see, especially recently, there's been a few ministries that are, you know, they're being investigated, and God is revealing things. And I believe the Lord allowed it to happen. He allowed the photographs to be shown. There was a few years ago, on the news in Orlando, when Benny Hinn had a church there, they followed him, the news station followed him to a foreign country. And he was sitting in a garden, or standing there, and there was a few members of his staff, and Steve Brock, who's his singer. They were sitting down, and Benny Hinn was passing a hookah pipe around to them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was actually this news channel from Orlando. So, you know, when I showed it to a few Christian people after, they said, oh, that's doctored. Well, if it was doctored, I'm sure Benny Hinn would have sued the TV station.
Mm-hmm.
But it's amazing how people don't want to believe when they see something. Like this man professes to be a mighty man of God and a minister of the gospel, but yet he's not yet divorced, and he goes off to Rome with what appeared to be his girlfriend, and you know, people still don't want to believe the truth. It's an amazing time we're living in, because there's so many people that have actually defended him.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, all cult leaders, all faith healers, all heretics have their followers.
Yeah.
And, you know, there is a conditioning process, a process of manipulation, just like in the cults, and we see that within the Word Faith movement, the prophetic movement. We see it with these so-called leaders like Todd Bentley.
Yeah.
Basically, It doesn't matter what they do, even in public, doesn't matter what they do, they've collected a number of followers around them who will defend them and make excuses for them. You mentioned something a minute ago about the photos or the video being doctored and that. That's the question that's been presented to me on the what appears to be the photos of Benny Hinn and Paula White in Rome, Italy.
Yeah.
And I maintain that if the photos are doctored, then let's see the evidence.
That's right.
And as a scenario, if you and I were just walking down the street, Susan, and just talking and things like that, and a couple of days later some photos come out of me and you holding hands or hugging or whatever, if that didn't take place, then somebody's going to be hearing from our attorneys.
That's right, especially Danny Hinn's attorneys.
Exactly. And, you know, there's some concern over that. Why hasn't, you know, if what didn't take place, if these things didn't take place, then, you know, Benny has a team of attorneys that would handle things like this. Nevertheless, I believe the truth is going to come out. It always does.
Yeah, it always does. That's like the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. You know,
right.
Because God is so merciful, he'll try to cover you. He'll try to protect you. But he does want you to come clean because the Bible does say that the Lord doesn't want people to handle his word and his work deceitfully. We're not supposed
mm-hmm.
to be deceitful. And use the gospel for our own gain, such as Benny Hinn flying around in, I don't know what he's got, a $5 million or $10 million jet, and he stays in the presidential suites.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have to stay in a presidential suite? You're only a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you have to live in a $5 million or a $10 million house? And that's handling the word of God deceitfully and using the gospel for your own gain. But I like what you said before, and I'd like you to elaborate on that about the manipulation in the Word of Faith movement.
Mm-hmm.
What do you see as the biggest form of manipulation that they use?
Well, one of the things, as we see in the cults, is repetition.
Yeah.
We see what appears to be mass hypnosis. We see an individual who is on stage when he walks out and people adore him. They grow to adore him because he says things that they want to hear in the first place. He tickles their ears.
Yeah.
He gives them another avenue of approach. And these are the things that the Apostle Paul warned Timothy about in 1 and 2 Timothy. And we're talking about doctrines of demons. We're talking about the type of conditioning process and manipulation that is found in the cults and over a period of time. We're also dealing with individuals out there who follow these people. They have probably experienced some depressing times in their own churches. Maybe they're searching for something. And word gets around about a certain individual. They start going to his church. The church grows. And within every situation that I personally have researched with faith healers and other individuals of that nature, they always twist scripture. They have some serious issues with interpretation of scripture and things like that. But Susan, let me say one thing real quick, if I may.
Yeah.
Our I want your listeners to try to understand that our message out here is that we do not hate Benny Hinn.
That's right.
We when I first started researching Benny in the early 1990s, I wrote him letters. I tried calling him to make an appointment with him.
Yeah.
I lived about 2 hours away from him, and I was willing to go down and sit down and talk to him and things like that. This was after this was after I heard his prophecies, a series of prophecies for the 1990s.
Yeah.
And there were quite a few of those prophecies. None of them came to pass.
Cool.
And so the only thing I heard back from Benny Hinn Ministries was a threatening letter from his attorney telling me to back off.
Oh, my. Wow.
Yeah. And but we love Benny. We do. And we care for the people who are following him.
Yeah.
Our message is that we love Mormons and Jehovah Witnesses and New Agers. And we want them to know the real Jesus of the Bible.
That's right.
On the other hand, we do not tolerate false teachings, false prophecies, deception, and things like that. Now, we're not out on a witch hunt to destroy Benny. But there, on the other hand, also, Susan, we don't make this stuff up.
No.
You know, while we love these people who are being deceived, we love Jesus Christ and the truth of his word a lot more.
That's
and
right.
We're doing exactly what Scripture commands all Christians to do, is to tell the truth in love and defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints.
And earnestly contend for the faith.
Yes.
That's right. Because we don't see enough of that. People are lazy, I guess. You know, they don't want to read their Bibles, because if you read your Bible, you'll find out the truth. I myself was involved in the Word of Faith movement for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started just reading my Bible and going through it line upon line, and then I was saying, wow, those teachings aren't lining up with my Bible, so somebody's wrong. And I realized that it wasn't God's Word, but it was the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, Kenneth Hagin, the so-called father of the faith movement, he claims that when he was 11 years old, he died and he went to hell. He was standing at the gates of hell, but then he gets born again. Well, that can't happen.
Right.
You don't get born again in hell.
Right.
So they're basing a whole movement. You have Kenneth Copeland, you have Fred Price, you have Creflo Dollar. So many of them are basing their ministries on Kenneth Hagin, and his whole thing wasn't true. It was heresy.
Right.
So that's where we're responsible for studying the Word of God and not accepting just because someone's on TV and they're rich and famous and they have big followings and big conventions that we're supposed to check it out with the Word. And
mm-hmm.
the Bible says to run from those people.
Exactly.
Withdraw yourself from people that say that gain is godliness.
Well,
so,
yeah, and the thing about it, you know, Kenneth Hagin claimed he went to hell. There are others, specifically Todd Bentley, who in 2008 and prior to that, has claimed multiple visitations from Jesus. He has claimed multiple visits to heaven. Now, what Christian in their right mind doesn't want to go to heaven? I don't know of any. I would love to go to heaven. But I can tell you now, when I go, I don't want to come back here. See?
Yeah,
so
that. Yeah.
So the thing about it is this is what Christians need to investigate. The Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians, in 1 John 4:1, we are to test what is being taught by the Word of God, and we are to try the spirits.
Try the spirits.
And we're not to be afraid.
Doesn't the Bible say that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father? So
yes.
He's not coming to make any visitations to special people like Todd Bentley. I mean, Todd Bentley, when I first saw him, and I saw the earrings and the tattoos and all that, and I thought, at first I thought, what is this? And I thought to myself, wow, maybe this, you know, that poor guy, he must have tattooed himself before he got saved. And then I came to find out he did all that after he got saved.
Right.
But it was like, to me, it looked like the devil was throwing something out there and saying, okay, accept this.
Yeah.
Let's see if you'll accept this now. You know,
mm-hmm.
talking about an angel, Emma, and all the things. But he, but the thing is, he had miracles. That's a friend of mine went. She got in her car and she drove somewhere where he was, and she told me, she said, "Well, somebody got raised from the dead there." So I said, "No, that didn't happen. I'm sorry. No, that did not happen."
Well, you
and
know,
anyway,
Susan.
Yeah.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Doesn't the Bible say that that's the way, one of the ways we're going to be tricked is with the, you know, Jesus said, "Why do you always have to have signs and wonders?"
Yeah, and Jesus also said that a wicked and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. See? And Jesus also said that many will come in him, many will come to him saying, "I did all these great things. I prophesied. And did many things in your name," and Jesus will say to them, "I never knew you."
Yes.
Now, the thing also, Susan, is right now there are more false prophets, false teachers, and false healers than in any time in the history of the world. And in my study of false prophets, specifically in the Old Testament alone, God's word, God does not fellowship with false prophets or false teachers. There is none whatsoever.
That's right.
I do not see anywhere in Scripture where a false prophet or a false teacher will go to heaven unless there is repentance.
Yes.
And salvation and being born again. Because we know God will save a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness, see?
Yeah.
And, but there has to be repentance. And, but nowhere does God tolerate false prophets. He says in Jeremiah, he says, "I am against the false prophets," see?
Yeah.
Period. And they're under judgment, plain and simple. And so I am convinced that these individuals who get out here, they refuse to repent, they refuse to listen to individuals who love and care about them. And they continue on and on and on and on. They're not saved in the first place.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
So,
I said the same thing about Mike Murdoch, because anybody that really knows the Lord Jesus Christ and loves him and loves his word, We don't go out there and promise people $58 blessings. We don't sell the gospel. Anybody that really knows God does not do that. You're convicted when you do, even if you're thinking about doing something like that. God has a way of convicting you. So I doubt, too, that most of these people ever really had a born-again experience.
I have to agree with that. I have to agree. And another thing, Susan, is that, you know, as Christians, it doesn't mean that when you're, the moment you're born again, that all of a sudden you're going to be infused with all of the knowledge of the Old Testament and the New Testament. You're not going to be able to quote entire chapters out of the Bible. And that, the Bible says that we are to study to show ourselves approved. We are to study God's word to gain discernment. And one of the biggest questions I am asked by new Christians is, "Bud, what do you suggest I do? What part of the Bible do you suggest that I read?"
Yeah.
And one of the things that I suggest is that they become an expert on Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
And they sit and look at me with wide eyes and they say, "Well, good night, that's going to take a while." And I said, "Well, you got time.
Yeah,
you've got plenty of time." Because he's there from Genesis to Revelation. And Susan, if Christians will become an expert on Jesus Christ, they will not be deceived by the false Jesus that the Apostle Paul warned about in Galatians chapter 1 and 2 Corinthians chapter 11.
Yeah.
They won't.
That's right. Another
you know?
I just want to say that the chat room is open. I appreciate your comments. I did see a caller, but the caller hung up, so I thank you for calling in anyway. But, you know, Bud, so many times people say, too, "Why are you judging? You shouldn't be judging." What exactly is judging?
Well, the ultimately, the great judge is God, obviously.
Yeah.
Anytime anyone, well, specifically in these type of ministries, we encounter individuals all the time when we write articles and blogs and go on, you know, public, in the public media. They're always coming back with stop attacking and stop judging.
Yeah.
See? And
I've anointed.
Yeah. And they have been taught by their leaders.
Yeah, by the leaders, yeah.
Yeah, that's part of the conditioning process.
That's part of the conditioning, yes, that's it, right.
To misinterpret.
Talk about that, because I want people to understand that, because a lot of people don't see that. When
uh-huh.
they're going to church and they tell you about the coverings and it's really, you know, shepherding, and then they're conditioning them with that, don't touch God's anointed, don't question anything, just turn off your mind and listen to me.
Yeah. Well, one of the most misquoted scriptures in the Bible concerning judging is Matthew chapter 7, where Jesus says, judge not that you be judged. See?
Yeah.
Judge not that you be not judged.
Yeah.
Now, what Jesus is talking about in those first passages there is don't judge hypocritically.
Yeah,
see?
Right.
Very
right.
plain and simple. Now, as you get on into Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, beware of false prophets who come to you as sheep in wolves' clothing. Or wolves in sheep's clothing, I'm sorry. then he goes into looking at their fruits. Now, there's either bad fruit or good fruit.
Right.
True prophets of God produce good fruit.
Yes.
False prophets produce bad fruit or rotten
yeah.
fruit.
Yeah.
See? And Jesus talks about the tree. If the tree is producing bad fruit, it gets thrown into the fire. And Jesus right there in those passages in Matthew chapter 7, which I encourage everyone to study, slowly read it and study it. To see
yeah,
what Jesus has to
thing.
Say there.
Right, the
yeah.
yeah.
Read it in context. And then you'll see that Jesus does not tolerate false prophets because he's the same. He was there in the Old Testament also.
Yes.
See? And as we get into the book of John and other areas, we see where the Bible clearly says that it's okay to judge righteously.
Judge righteous judgments, right.
Right. And then another familiar saying from individuals who follow cult leaders, heretics and that,
yeah.
is stop naming names. Well, the Apostle Paul confronted the Apostle Peter for something that Peter was teaching wrongly.
Yeah, he told them off.
And the Apostle Paul named names of individuals who had betrayed him and individuals
yeah.
who had gone astray and things like
yeah.
that. Now, ultimately, throughout the Bible, if you do a name study in the Bible, beginning in the Old Testament and go to the New Testament, of course, you'll
yeah.
see the names of individuals that the Holy Spirit inspired the writers of the Bible to put in. See? So the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, inspired the writers of the Old Testament and the New Testament to put names of individuals who were either false prophets or deceivers, false brethren, and individuals like that. So God says it's okay for us to name names.
Yeah.
And you know, and we can do it publicly if they are found to be teaching falsely.
That's
and
right.
they need to be named. The people Probably need a name.
That's
so.
Right. They need a name. I mean, I wouldn't. I'm not offended if somebody tries to correct me. I'm certainly not going to send them a threatening letter from my attorneys if they merely want to sit down and talk to me about something, right? I mean,
right.
What do we have to be afraid of? If somebody's coming to you in love with the right spirit and they're trying to tell you, well, I don't agree with this or with that. So you could sit down with the person, but these people, you can't get past them through their bodyguards. It's like, what ministry has a bodyguard? Give me a break.
Right.
It's a joke.
Right.
you can't talk to them. They won't touch you. They won't say hi to you. I remember years ago when I was at a meeting and Mike Murdoch was there. It was a small meeting to a small room, so there was only 100 people in there, so it was very easy to say hi to him or whatever. And I smiled at him, and he looked like, I mean, he didn't smile back or anything. He wasn't friendly. It was like, you know, why are you smiling at me? Well, I was trying to be friendly or say hello. I just thought it was strange. I thought that's a strange way for a minister to act. Is that,
well, you know,
we're supposed to be ministering.
Sure, and we are to display and demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, which
yeah.
is love, joy, peace, and that.
No,
you know, another part of the conditioning process, Susan, is the fear factor, intimidation,
yeah.
instilling
yeah.
fear in individuals. That
so
if
talk
you
talk about that word intimidation, because that's important.
Well, years ago on TBN, Benny Hinn threatened me and some of my colleagues with a Holy Ghost machine gun. He actually said publicly that if he could find one scripture in the Bible that said it's okay to kill him, he said, I would.
Wow.
He has lashed out publicly and said that he placed a curse on individuals who were, quote-unquote, coming against his ministry, who are attacking him.
He actually said that at a Denver crusade, didn't he?
Yeah.
He actually said that in front of thousands of people.
Now, if you're a follower of Benny Hinn, or if had you been a follower of Benny Hinn back then, and either been sitting at the crusade or watching him on TV, you would have probably had chills go down your back.
I guess.
See? Now,
why didn't people walk out when they heard that?
Yeah, yeah.
But that's
well,
what you said with the conditioning.
Yeah, well, why, you know, the question is also, on December 31st, 1989, why didn't most of his congregation walk out when Benny prophesied that God was going to kill all the homosexuals, that Fidel Castro was going to die, that the eastern part of the United States was going to crumble in an earthquake, and things like that? None of the prophecies ever came true. He's a false prophet, and God says to avoid him. Now, the fear factor is very prevalent within the cults and heretical movements.
Yeah.
And people are actually afraid that if they speak out against Benny Hinn, Todd Bentley, Mike Murdoch, individuals like that, that God is going to zap them or God is going to curse them.
Yeah.
But our message to them, Susan, is there is nothing to be afraid of, nothing to fear from Benny Hinn, Mike Murdoch, any quote-unquote leader in the Word Faith movement. Now, I'm not trying to play tough guy here. Okay?
Right.
I have feelings, emotions, just like everybody else.
Yeah.
But we have, there's no reason to fear Benny Hinn. He is a false prophet. He is a false teacher. And it's documented many, many times over. There is nothing to fear from him or these other people. Because when we have God on our side, we have nothing to fear whatsoever. Now, Benny can get up there and he can gripe and complain. He can throw out threats. He can try to intimidate people and that. But all he is doing, it's just a waste of words because he has nothing to back it up. He doesn't have God in his corner, see?
Yes.
Period.
I see a caller, and I'm going to try to see just a quick question from the caller. Let's see what this caller has to say. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Yes, do you have a comment?
Yes, I do. I have come out of an Assemblies of God church 3 years ago because of false teaching. People were saying that God was weeding out the people who left the church like they were weeds. I felt rejected, and you've been talking just now about the fear factor, and I still have that. And I don't know how to break out of it. It's like I've come out of a cult, and I'm alone, and I don't know where to go from here.
Oh.
I don't have a church, and I don't trust churches at this
point. Yeah, I know. Well, you are the church, so you are the church. I know how you feel because I had to come out of it myself, and I know how you feel. Let me get Bud on the phone. Hold on, caller. Let's get him on and
Thank you.
We'll pray for you. Bud? Hi, Bud. Bud? Is my caller on or is Bud on?
I'm on.
Okay, let me see if I can get him on now. Hold on, I'm learning how to work this switchboard. There he goes. Bud? Bud? Oh, dear. Are you on, the caller? Is the caller on or is Bud on?
Hello?
Bud?
Hello?
Yes.
Are you there?
Hi, Bud. Yeah. Did you hear the caller?
No.
She has called in, and she said that she was in an Assembly of God church for many years, and she had to leave because of the false teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that she felt the same thing with the fear. And she said that after she left, they said something about God was weeding people out. And she said that they just treated the people like they were weeds.
Mm-hmm.
And she said now she's all alone. She doesn't have a church.
Uh-huh. Well, what she experienced at that church, you know, in the aftermath when people, the leadership was talking about weeding out the weeds and things like that, that's part of the process to try to intimidate the remaining members to stay right where they're at.
Yeah, that's so, it, yeah.
Now, what I would encourage the caller to do is to seek the Lord in prayer every day, to read the Bible, remain faithful to the Lord, and ask the Lord to send friends, like-minded Christians,
yeah.
Maybe from the neighborhood. Pray about the Lord finding a good church and that. But remain faithful to the Lord. Remain strong in the Lord, period. And I would also say to the caller that there are many, many people across the nation who are going through the same thing. And God has blessed them and comforted them. Because it's just like coming out of a cult, plain and
yeah,
simple.
Yeah, that's how she feels, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that my switchboard, I wasn't able, you weren't able to hear her
right.
When she was talking. So, you know, I thought maybe that, you know, you could hear, but it's just the way my switchboard is set up. But
uh-huh.
We want to pray for her. We're going to pray for you and ask God to bless you and heal you. Because
mm-hmm.
it's a blessing that you got out. I mean, thank God you got out because
yeah.
you can
yeah.
see, Bud, how they treated her. I mean, mm-hmm. they're supposed to have the love of God, but yet when she left, they treated her so poorly.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, now she feels alone. Like you said, it's like coming out of a cult, but it's a good thing that she got out of there.
Mm-hmm. Any Pat, yeah, pastors should be open. You know, a solid Bible-based pastor welcomes members of his congregation to come and talk to him.
That's right.
To ask questions. Yeah, ask
questions,
be, you know, to, you know, get things clarified in that. But there, on the other hand, any solid Bible-based pastor will remain steadfast on the essential doctrines, such as the deity of Christ, the Trinity, salvation by grace through faith.
Yes, through
that.
Faith. Right.
You know, and certainly he should be willing to answer questions in that. So, and there needs to be a lot of love and concern that a pastor will show for his congregation. But, no, it's a blessing that the person, did you say it was a lady?
Yeah, it was
came,
a lady,
came
yeah.
Out with, yeah, it's a blessing, you know.
Yeah,
and she,
a blessing.
I would encourage her to praise the Lord for
yeah,
bringing her out
the
of
Lord,
that.
That's it. It's hard at first.
Sure.
It was hard for me because I was in full-time ministry. I was
mm-hmm.
traveling and I was speaking in these churches and you know, I was earning a living. and I had to give up my living. But I said, I'm finished. I mean, I can't continue to do this. I can't participate. And it was, I had to go through a withdrawal period myself. And there is a lot of rejection. But the thing is, the Lord doesn't reject you. So
right.
when it comes right down to it, Jesus Christ is our best friend. He's the only real friend we have.
Right.
He said he sticks closer than a brother. So he's going to stay with you. And it's like Bud said, stay in the Word. And until you find a church, you are the church. We are all members of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you can't actually attend at a building, you can build yourself up in the most holy faith by studying God's Word, and that will keep you strong. You'll never miss out.
Well, you know, Susan, it's been my experience, individuals coming out of cults, heretical movements, they come out stronger. They come out more discerning.
Yes, yes.
And they come out fearless.
That's right.
The Lord
has happened to me. I got fearless.
The Lord has
Hallelujah.
Blessed them and pulled them out of a movement, and He can certainly bless them and help them to find a good, solid Bible-based church with a good pastor and individuals who will love and care. And that's what we should seek when we come out of these movements. But unfortunately, as you know, Susan, there are individuals who their faith is so shipwrecked that they just turn completely away from anything Christian.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it takes a long time. But if they are truly saved, the Lord's going to draw them back. He's not going to let them go. He made
That's
that promise
right.
to them, you know.
That's right. Well, the Bible says we're not. It's the Bible says, "Cursed is the man that puts their trust in man." So, I love that scripture because whenever a human being lets you down, okay, they let you down. But we're not supposed to put our trust in human beings because anybody could make a mistake and do something to hurt you, and it does hurt. But the hurt will go away, and like you said, you become stronger. And you become fearless because you know the truth. And hallelujah, when you know the truth, nobody can take that away from you.
Right.
So there are so many good websites out there, too, for people, such as Bud's website. It's the Christian Research Service. And there's also another good website. I think it's discernment.org. And this is a lady that actually her father was an Assembly of God pastor, and she had to come out of the Assembly of God because of the heresy. So there's a lot of fellowship out there on the internet. I found the internet to be a great blessing. That's how we found each other. So there's a lot of people out there that know what it's like to come out of these heretical churches, and you can have fellowship on the internet and make friends that way. You might not have any friends in your own hometown because there's so many, even in small towns, there's so many people that are involved in these churches, Word of Faith churches, and the Assemblies of God, they've come so far away from the faith, it's pitiful. But I just want to talk, Bud, and we have about 6 minutes left here, but I wanted to talk about the doctrine of little gods. What is this teaching about becoming little gods?
In the 6 minutes that we have, I'll try to cram in as much as I can.
The
Word of Faith teaching that man is a god is heretical at best and cultic at worst. And it's derived from a faulty misinterpretation of Psalm 82:6 and John 10:34. The word gods, plural, in these passages refers to magistrates or judges who received authority from God. Now, when we read Psalm 82:6 and 7 in context, we see a different picture.
Yeah.
It plainly says, I said, You are gods, and all of you are sons of the Most High. Now, Word of Faith leaders usually leave it at that. scripture. They point to a scripture that says you are gods. Okay.
Yeah.
And then they build a faulty doctrine on that. But if you read Psalm 82, verses 6 and 7 in context, it ends with, nevertheless, you will die like men and fall like any of the princes. Now, the question is, how can a god die?
Yeah, or fall like a, how can God fall?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So when we read things in context and check things out on our own, we find that in Isaiah 43:10, the Bible says, you are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, and neither will there be after me.
Hallelujah.
I am the Lord, and there is no Savior besides me. And you can go on Isaiah 44:6, and cross-reference these passages with Revelation. You know, there's only one God who exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is a creator and sustainer of the universe. Everything else out there is man-made and fabricated, according to the God of the Bible.
Yeah, what about, they love to quote, oh, I know the people in the Word of Faith movement, they love to quote a scripture about, and greater works shall ye do, and you'll do greater works than Jesus himself. That was a favorite one.
Yeah, and we're talking about the difference in quantity and quality.
Yeah.
Now, I have yet to see a Word Faith teacher or anybody, with the exception of Jesus and his apostles through the power of God, raise someone from the dead or grow an amputated leg.
Yes, right.
Things like that. So,
no, I never saw them do that.
Now, we have to understand also, real quick, the cults such as Mormonism teach that man can become a god.
Yes, they do.
The New Age movement teaches that you are God.
Yes.
And the Word of Faith movement teaches that you are a god or God, and that claiming to be God or a God is flat out blasphemy.
Yes,
and one cannot, and your listeners need to understand one important factor here. One cannot be a Christian and deity at the same time.
Yes.
Plain and simple.
Yes, amen.
And that's what the danger is in this type of teaching.
Yes.
That you are a God. And sometimes they qualify it and say, well, I'm using a little g and I'm not the big God. Well, in the Hebrew doesn't have any capital letters. See?
Uh-huh.
And the Old Testament was originally in Hebrew, so.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's good there. Anyway, Bud, I want to thank you so much. Wow, this hour went by so fast. It was an interesting, wonderful program, and we're going to have Bud back on again in the future. He's got so much information on his website. Bud, just tell people how to get to your website real quick.
It's Christian Research Service. It's www.christianresearchservice.com.
Yeah, I advise that you go there and call her. We're going to be praying for you. I want the caller to email me at susan@propheticnews.com. Please do email me and keep in touch. Lord, we want to thank you for this caller today. We ask you, Lord, to minister to her broken heart. Jesus, you said you heal the brokenhearted. And we ask you to heal her broken heart today, restore her, renew her by the washing of the water of the word. God, we thank you for this program today. We ask that, Lord, even people that don't know you would come to know you, Jesus, the Savior, the Redeemer, the one who loved, the one who laid down his life for us. And I thank you for Bud and his ministry and his family. I ask you to continue to bless him. And thank you for the wisdom that you've given him, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for divine connections and for friends. And we ask you to bring new friends into the caller's life. In Jesus' name, don't forget to tune in next week to Prophetic News on Blog Talk Radio, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday. And we'll be on the Prophecy Zone Network at 11 on Monday. We'll be playing this program. We'll be playing this program with Bud until we go back live on the air at a new time. So God bless you all, and thank you for tuning in today.
God bless.
God bless, Bud.
Bye-bye, thank Susan. Thank
bye.
You.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city. On a hill, and someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.